owe them, but very few of us know them. They took an oath to protect us at home and abroad, so the rest of us can live safe and free. They are the men and women of our military and first responder communities, and these are their stories. American Warrior Radio is on the air.
Well, hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to American Warrior Radio. This is your host, Ben Bueller Garcia. I know you are hearing this show on your local station, but just a reminder, you can podcast American Warrior Radio on all your favorite platforms, Amazon, iHeart, Google, Pandora, Spotify, Stitcher, and Deezer are just some of the places you can find us. If you like what you hear today, please encourage your friends around the country to check us out as well. Folks often ask me where we get our guests. Sometimes we seek them out, often they're referred to us. Today's guest was brought to our attention by the management of stand-up comedian Bobby Henline, a badly burned veteran and truly inspirational guy who's been on the show before. They called our attention to a small business in an even smaller town outside of Atlanta. Brayman, Georgia has a population of about 6,200 persons on a Sunday. There's a veteran-owned auto repair and restoration company there that's doing something small in scale but huge in impact. They are driving down the path of restoring our heroes' lives one hot rod at a time. Joining us today is one of the founders of American Warrior Radio, American Warrior Garage, so that's going to be a problem all day long, and driving forces behind this unique Pay It Forward idea, Mr. Scott Jones. Scott, welcome to American Warrior Radio.
Thanks for having me on today.
Hey, listen, I love your name. Not your name, but the company's name. It's something about American Warrior Garage resonates with me, and I can't figure out exactly what it is.
Yeah, it was. Well, you know, it took us a little bit to try to get this one going, and it's finally, you know, it's one that kind of grew on us. So we, you know, it's in the early stages of our organization, we were just trying to come up with that perfect name, and I think we kind of hit the nail on the head.
Well, I'm kind of partial to it. So, now, Scott, you served in the Navy aboard submarine tenders and an aircraft carrier, correct?
I did. I started my service in 1984 out of high school. I was stationed on a submarine tender called the USS Orion, and we were over in Sardinia, Italy. I did two years there, and then I left there and went to the USS Dwight D. Eisenhower in Norfolk, Virginia. And at the time, we were in dry dock and having some work done on the ship, and some of us got together and just decided, hey, you know, what are we going to do with all this free time? And we started up a Navy rifle and pistol team. So actually we got to go around and shoot for a couple of years competition as on the U.S. Navy rifle and pistol team. So my duty in the service was, you know, very rewarding, and I really enjoyed it. And then I got out of the Navy. We couldn't do the inactive reserve time, so I went active reserve with the Air National Guard unit, 116 CAMS unit here in Dobbins Air Force Base out of Atlanta, and I was there for about 8 years, and then I got out.
Now, did you develop your mechanics chops in the Navy, or was that just sort of a hobby or something you had done prior to your service?
It was kind of a hobby. My father was always had his head underneath the hood of a car and you know, growing up. So, and then, you know, when I got into high school and everything, my dad basically said, you know, you can work and have a car, or you can, you know, play sports and walk to school. So my passion then was, you know, I better get me a car so I can, you know, drive to school. So my first car was a 54 Chevy pickup truck that I, you know, drove back and forth to high school for a little bit, and it just kind of progressed from there.
And when did you make the decision to start your own garage, or did that come about as a result of this initiative with Vince?
So Vince and I have a long history of restoring cars. Back when him and I first met, we were restoring Volkswagens and the Beetles and the Notchbacks and cars like that, you know, and then it kind of progressed on into the hot rod. So him and I probably got together, and we were building cars 20, 25 years before we even thought about doing the garage. So, and I've restored, all kinds of different cars, like Volkswagens, and then I got into a couple of Corvettes one time, and then we got into C10 trucks, and then now we, you know, we're working on a little bit of everything. So
tell us more about American Warrior Garage. Folks can visit AmericanWarriorGarage.org. The seed was planted in 2014, as I understand it, Scott. Tell us a story about your partner, Vince Gibson, and that 1969 El Camino.
So in 2014, Vince and I, actually probably a little bit before that, we were up at one of the local department stores and you know, shopping and everything. And Vince at the time had a 69 El Camino, and I believe I had a 68 Camaro. And so we're in messing around, and we come out, and we happen to see a young man kind of rolling around. He was in a wheelchair. He's kind of rolling around Vince's El Camino, and he's like, man, I kind of like to be able to drive one of those. And it's like, we're like, well, you know, why not? You know, you shouldn't have any limits just because you're in a wheelchair. So not long after that, a friend of mine reached out to me that was actually doing an engine build for a veteran that was a double amputee. And he reached out to us and said, hey, man, I'm building this car, this engine for this gentleman, and his car really needs some help. Would it be something that you'd want to take on? And I'm like, it's funny that you say that, because me and my partner Vince, we just started, you know, this nonprofit. So we actually took a 70 Chevelle in. That was our first car, a 70 Chevelle in, with a double amputee, a Marine Corps veteran, that, you know, we restored it, fixed the hand controls that were in it. And this Chevelle, mind you, has a 800 horsepower big block engine in it, and he's driving this thing with hand controls. So for us to get our hands on a project like that right out the chute was great. And, you know, we've just been kind of doing it ever since, and now, it's kind of a little that we have.
Now, Vince is a Navy veteran, too, and this initial young man in the wheelchair, as I understand it, he lost both his legs to an IED in Afghanistan. So his situation, I want to say, or his passion, probably more appropriately, really resonated right off the bat, I'm guessing.
Yes, this car was about the only thing that he had to come back to. And then, you know, when you're coming back from Afghanistan, and you know, when you go over there, everything was cool, and you come back home, and then now you're a double amputee, and you're like, you know, what am I going to do now? So, you know, we try to, you know, reach out to each and every one, where it's like, hey, look, you shouldn't have any limits. If you want to drive this car, we're gonna try to help you out in every way possible to get you in it. So, and that's kind of what we had to do with this car, is, you know, for that veteran. So it was very rewarding for me and Vince both to be able to get this man rolling down. And he takes it everywhere. He goes up to Pigeon Forge with it on car shows and different things, you know. And then, you know, it's just something that now, once he was enjoying it before he went into the service, and now he's still enjoying it today.
Scott, when we come back, I want to talk more about this very interesting pay it forward idea that you guys are doing. And I tell you, I know you're, like any small business, nonprofits, there's been some ups and downs and bumps in the road, but I'm so inspired by what you guys are doing, and I'd like to help you grow it. So when we come back, we'll talk more about American Warrior Radio Garage. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back. Welcome back to American Warrior Radio, ladies and gentlemen. This is your host, Ben Bueller Garcia. We're talking with Scott Jones. He's one of the founders and co-owners of a really unique little initiative, I'll call it that, American Warrior Garage. They are refitting, customizing hot rods, cars for veterans. And Scott, now, just to clarify, this is not, you don't do that just for veterans. You also include first responders and your beneficiary categories?
Yes, we support all our organizations, that first responders, EMS, you know, anybody that got up in the morning and decided that they want to, you know, serve our, you know, public servants. So, you know, we take our hat off to those top people that get up, you know, police officers and stuff that get up and, you know, they make an oath to protect and serve our, you know, our citizens too. So, we don't discriminate. We like them all. So
now I've got some experience with nonprofits. I've started 8 or 9 of them. And, you know, the story of that first veteran in the El Camino is very inspirational, and I can see where you get your back up. It's like, yeah, let's do this. But in the early stages there, did either of you think about some of the practical realities of what you'd be taking on, or just you forge forward?
No, we were just kind of winging it. In the early days, you know, I think that first car that we did, funding is, you know, we'll probably get into that later, but funding's always the challenge for us. So I think that first car that we did, it came out of our pocket. So we had a small shop at the time, and you know, we have a local company, Southwire, that helped us out a little bit. But you know, most of our early days of doing this, it was all self-funded, and you know, we just kind of did it, and that out of it's just what we wanted to do, what we felt compelled to do. So, you know, and then as our organization grew, we were able to, you know, do a little bit more. But, you know, in our early stages, it was just a passion, and that's what we did.
Now, some of the hard rails you did establish, though, Scott, was that every person involved in your organization had to be a veteran, because you wanted to be veterans working for veterans.
That's correct. American Warrior Garage is founded off, that's our kind of our thing. It's like veterans helping veterans reintegrate back into society through automobile restoration and service. So we, you know, guys that come to our shop, we hope to help them learn a trade and you know, if they want to get into the automotive industry as far as, you know, going to work for an automotive shop. So we're trying to get them to that first level of ASC certification. So we're not an ASC certified shop, but we have the books and information and stuff like that to kind of get them to their first level of taking the entry test to get their ASC certification. So that's one of our core things that we want to try to do is if guys come out of the service and then they want to get jobs in the automotive industry, that we're just kind of like a little stepping stone for them to help them, you know, get better paying jobs so they can provide for their family.
And how early in the process did you two decide that you wanted to add that as an initiative in addition to just doing the cars to get out there to the veterans themselves?
Yeah, 2014 is kind of when we got started, and then 2018 is when we kind of expanded a little bit and started, you know, incorporate the some sort of training program.
And how many cars, pay it forward cars, have you all done so far, Scott?
We are currently working on our third one. The issues that we have with Pay It Forward cars is always it's funding. You know, there's a lot of charitable people out there that help us with, you know, parts and whatnot. Sherwin-Williams is providing paint packages for us. And then we have a local upholstery shop that kind of helps us out. But a lot of your other parts, you know, you reach out to some of these big retailers, and if you're not a well-known, you know, nonprofit, we're paying for this stuff. So, and then we do have private individuals that help fund some of this stuff, but it's always funding seems to get in the way with doing the Pay It Forward cars. So, like, we'll bring cars in that we can charge people to work on their cars and everything, you know, but it seems like we'll raise money that way to help pay for the Pay It Forward cars. But these pay it forward cars, as any car guy knows, they're pretty expensive. Like, you take one apart, paint it, you know, go through the engine. It's not something that you can just do in a couple of weekends. They're a little bit more to it. So
what, and I'm not, I stopped being, I never was a big mechanic, Scott, but I used to be able to, you know, actually tune my own engine and do my own oil changes and stuff back when, in the days when you could open up the hood of a car and recognize what was underneath there. I'm afraid those days are long gone, but at which point does a vehicle reach where it's just no longer salvageable? I mean, if you literally just have the body and the shell, you can go from there, theoretically, if funds weren't an issue?
Yeah, theoretically, we could do ground-off restorations for guys. But, of course, they just take a long time to do those, and they take a lot of money. The Torino that we're doing right now, we're doing a 68 Torino for a veteran that he did 5 tours in Afghanistan. So I don't know, those of you in the military world, 5 tours, that's a lot of tours. And then his 6th tour, he went to Hawaii, and then he's getting ready to re-up to, you know, for another tour. But I think he'll be back stateside, you know, for this last tour, I believe. So this 68 Torino, if you follow us on Facebook and Instagram, here in the upcoming month, we have an eight video segment of this car from start to finish. And it was a brother, 2 brothers, both of them served in the Army. One of them got discharged on a medical, and then the other one, he stayed in. And we get to tell their story, and it's going to be a great story. So follow us on Facebook and Instagram. We're going to be debuting these stories actually on YouTube. So we do have a YouTube channel that hasn't been active that we're going to get activated, and we'll be able to tell this story. It's a nice story. We don't have enough time to get into it right now, but it's 2 brothers that served together. One brother was medically discharged. He came to us. Hey, I've got my brother. He, you know, tells us the story. And then we actually brought his car in, and we got it painted, got all new interior put in it. And then we pulled the motor out, reconditioned it, put that back in it. We're putting gauges and stuff like that in it. And it'll be a really, really nice car whenever he comes home and we're able to present it to him.
Now, Scott, I actually did visit your YouTube channel, and it's not just cars. You had a pretty slick-looking golf cart that you all put together as well, too, as a fundraiser.
Right. Every now and then we'll get somebody will donate something in, and we'll be able to pass it on as a fundraiser. The last car that we did, I don't know if you saw it on, we did a 62 Thunderbird that was actually donated in by a Korean War veteran. He bought it brand new in 63. We were able to get the car. His son, who he passed away, his son ended up with the car, and he donated the car in to our organization, and we used it as a fundraiser. This car was pristine, and so every now and then somebody will donate a car to us or something that doesn't need any work, and then we'll do a fundraiser with it with a raffle. We use a platform called Rally Up, and then we'll run that on that platform. Rally Up is a nonprofit platform that we use to, it takes the money and makes tickets and keeps everything transparent for when we get stuff like that in. So
yeah, I did see that, and man, it's a beauty. And I think in the video you're talking about, I just drove like a charm still. It didn't need that much, maybe a coat of paint, if that.
Yeah, this car didn't need anything. It was actually, when we went and picked it up, it had been in the garage for about 5 years. I had the tires were flat on it, and we thought, oh, man, we're going to have to bring it back. And first when he called, it's like, oh, here we go. We got a 62 T-Bird that, you know, somebody wants to donate to us. And you never know what they are until you actually go out and look at it. Well, when the guys brought this thing back, it's like, I'm like, holy cow, this thing was beautiful. And I'm like, how, you know, why would somebody, you know, take a car that's pristine. So we aired the tires up, put some fuel in it. She fired right off. As a matter of fact, it was probably the only car we had in the garage at the time that you could just reach down there, kick the key on it, and it just fire right up. So, the winner to that is up in Massachusetts. I've got to deliver the car. We had a little setback with it with the transportation company. So, damaged it a little bit, so we're having to repair it, and then I'll get it up to Massachusetts here in the next month or so.
Scott, we got to take another break here. When we come back, I want to talk about that, because as wonderful as it sounds about what you all are doing there, just some very practical logistical issues involved with pursuing this endeavor. So when we come back, I want to chat with you more about that, and then, frankly, just the challenges of operating a small business in today's environment. Ladies and gentlemen, there's your host, Ben Buehler-Garcia. We're talking with Scott Jones of American Warrior Garage. I keep wanting to say American Warrior Radio Garage, Scott. Visit AmericanWarriorGarage.org. We'll be right back. Welcome back to American Warrior Radio, ladies and gentlemen. This is your host, Ben Buehler-Garcia. We're talking with another American Warrior, Scott Jones, who's the co-founder and owner of American Warrior Garage, located in Bremen, Georgia, just outside, about 50 miles from Atlanta, Scott?
Right, about 50 miles, right outside of Atlanta, towards west, towards Alabama.
So you were talking a little bit about this. You had I think it was the Taylor family that donated this just pristine Thunderbird. You guys got it, checked it out and had a drawing and somebody won it. But it wasn't, it just kind of breaks my heart about, to tell our listeners how the hiccups in getting that vehicle to the eventual new owner.
So I try to deliver everything that our giveaways. I just try to load them up. We've got a trailer, enclosed trailer that, we load things up and take them to the winners. I took a golf cart up to Wisconsin to a winner and took one down to Florida a few weeks ago to a winner. And then the Thunderbird, it's like I had it loaded in the trailer and we were getting ready to take off with it. And then one of the gentlemen that was going to ride with me, he got sick that morning and wasn't going to be able to make the trip. And, Georgia to Massachusetts, a little bit of a haul. And I'd already contacted one of the transport companies about hauling it for me. And but I decided I was going to haul it myself. Well, the rider, he got sick, and then I called the transport company up, and he goes, well, we just happen to have a truck in the area. And I'm like, okay, so they came and, picked the car up and had it loaded in, tucked right in the middle bottom of it, and, they're all headed off with it. So 2 hours later, they called me back and said a strap got loose and something, unhooked itself or whatever and damaged the car. So so here we are, having to repair the car, and, the bumpers were messed up. So I'm having to have bumpers re-chromed and so it and the fender replaced. So it's, the kind of challenges like that. It's like, you're rocking along. Everything's great. You just raised a bunch of money with this car. And then, you announce a winner and then next thing, bam, life happens. And it's like, kind of sets everything back. So
has the winner been pretty good about it, though? They've been pretty, if I was getting a new Thunderbird like that, I'd bite my tongue a little bit, but man, I can't, I want the darn car. I could be afford to be a little patient.
He's been a trooper. The problem that we ran into was insurance. The trucking company was slow to pay, and I went to my insurance company because I have it insured. So finally we got all the insurance stuff straightened out, and they were able to give us a check on the damages. So and we're almost done getting it repaired back to its, where I can take it up there. So all that happened in October, just to kind of give you an idea of what, how long things are taking now. It's like, so you know, in the bumpers, we try to get an order of bumper and, oh, yeah, we have it. Oh, no, we don't have it. So it's just parts right now are just, they're kind of difficult to get.
Well, let's talk about that a little bit, because I think that's normally running a small business or a nonprofit is challenging even in the best of times. But with the supply chain issues and some of the other situations we've got going on, not just nationally and globally now, is it getting harder to get, I mean, forget about parts for a classic Thunderbird, but just parts for any vehicle?
Oh, yeah. We've ordered some parts through one of the major distributors. They're still, like some wheels for a Buick. I've got a Buick here that we're working on for a customer of ours, and they've been on back order. They still haven't shipped them. I ordered them mid-year last year, and they're still not, you know, and don't know when they're going to have them. So it's like that everywhere, seems like. We ordered some gauges, took a month to get some gauges, and you're just having to work on, everybody's working on somebody else's timeline, it seems like, and you know, we're trying to, you know, get these cars done, and now we've got shipping constraints on all the parts. So, but, you know, some it's in our backyard, and they're usually pretty good about having parts, you know, for these old hot rods. So, but some of these specialty products, it's just, you just can't get them. And you just have to, you know, do the best you can with what you got.
So now explain to me the distinction between Bremen Automotive and American Warrior Garage. Are you also an owner of Bremen, or is that Vince, or is somebody completely unconnected?
No, that's us. So I guess we can talk about, so American Warrior Garage was featured on a TV show called Garage Rehab. So Garage Rehab come in, and Richard Rollins come in and redid our garage and kind of gave us a for-profit to help out the nonprofit. So the for-profit, even though it's American Warrior Garage, we just called it Bremen Auto.
Okay.
That way,
the reason I ask is, so you've got really two businesses kind of going there. And I'm assuming during COVID, Scott, that auto repair was declared an essential service. But nowadays, well, two things that I'm curious about. One is, you know, with what happened now, it's almost impossible to get a new vehicle. You know, you got to put your order in now for, I don't know what year, you're going to be waiting for your car. So I'm guessing folks are paying more attention to the maintenance and maybe extending the life of their used vehicle. And I'm not talking hot rods. I'm just talking your everyday, you know, 5-6-year-old car. Are you seeing that in your industry?
Yes. Even those, it's hard to get parts for. So, you know, people can't get new cars now. So they want to come and repair all their old cars. So, and you know, getting parts for some of those are, you know, they're like 2 weeks or 3 weeks out to get a torque converter or, you know, just the supply chain in general has just been one of those, issues that we just have to face with.
How do you source your classic vehicles? If a veteran had come to you and said, look, I mean, they don't have one of their own right now, but it's like, man, I always wanted a classic Camaro. Do you guys then go out through your contacts in the automotive industry and say, hey, has anyone got one of those Camaros sitting in a garage somewhere collecting dust, or how does that work?
Sure. I'll hunt cars for people. I've got, you know, people out looking for cars for us all the time. We've got some connections through, you know, different sources around town. You've got people like Gateway and people like Streetside Customs and stuff like that. They have them. But then, you know, there's honey holes everywhere. You see guys that'll pop up and, hey, I found this car here, I found this car there. And we've got a couple of guys here in town that are constantly looking for that barn find that, you know, people are wanting. Mm-hmm. So basically that's kind of what we do. We have a network of guys that are, that are constantly looking for cars. Now, out there where you're at, out in the dry country, there's still a bunch of cars out there that need to be mined. And whenever I go out to Phoenix, to visit my mom, I'll go out and kind of go peeking through some of the junkyards and stuff out there to try to find some good cores that could be built for customers. So,
I don't know if you'd be interested in this, and I'll have to check on this, Scott, but years ago I was involved in the restoration of a historic theater, and we were contacted out of the blue by a family that had a classic Rolls Royce. I don't know if it was called a Gray Phantom or whatever it was, but it belonged to a former movie star. And it was one of those things where the carriage of the vehicle was separated, like the cab of the driver was an open cab, and the carriage was enclosed. And we went down to this guy's garage and looked at it, and of course it was covered in dust, but still in great shape. But, I mean, we're a theater. I mean, what do we know about a classic Rolls Royce? So maybe I should go down there and pound on his door and see if he's still got that laying around.
There you go. Yeah, I'd like to bring that thing back to life.
All right. Super. Ladies and gentlemen, Ben Buehler-Garcia talking with Scott Jones. Visit AmericanWarriorGarage.org to find out how you can help. And particularly if you're a veteran that's maybe looking for some inspiration, check them out. We'll talk more with Scott when we come right back. Welcome back to American Warrior Radio, ladies and gentlemen. This is your host, Ben Buehler-Garcia. We're talking with Scott Jones of American Warrior Garage, and just some terrific stuff Scott and his partners are doing down there to help veterans and literally getting vehicles into the hands of some of these folks that just could use the wheels, I guess, to return back to society. But, Scott, I don't want to neglect you. Also had a situation, as I understand, a woman from Dallas that...
Yeah, so we get cars donated in, all kind of different cars donated in, some of them. And one of the things that we would do is we would pick them and repair them. And if we had a deserving veteran or somebody in the area that needed a car, we would, just pass that car. We'd repair it and then pass that car on to somebody else. And then, so we actually had a lady, a single mom in Dallas, Texas, call us and was needing a vehicle. So we're like, ma'am, we're all the way out in Georgia and you're in Dallas, Texas. And she says, well, I really, really need a vehicle. And I says, well, we have one. And so she had someone drive her from Dallas, Texas, all the way to Bremen, Georgia. And we were gladly gave her the keys to a vehicle that we had brought in and repaired. That was a donated vehicle we brought in, and we usually will just give it a tune up and put tires and stuff like that on it. And then she drove it, back to Texas. So, that's another one of the kind of the neat things about, our organization is we meet people from all over, and it's not just our local people in Bremen, but they're we get emails and calls from people all over. So,
I tell you, Scott, you got my juices flowing here now. I'm just thinking about your earlier comment. I mean, certainly in our Arizona affiliates, because rust is usually not an issue out here, there's probably some cars laying around. Some of the affiliates we have close to the ocean or maybe someplace where it's real cold where they spread salt on the roads, maybe not. But we got two stations up in Ohio, kind of farm country. Who knows what's hiding in some barns up there. Maybe, hopefully we'll inspire some folks. Hey, look around, look around your neighborhood. If you find a car you'd like to donate to American Warrior Garage, do it. This is sort of like Junk for Jesus, but for veterans, I guess.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, we do have I'm drawing a blank right now, but the companies that deal with the insurance companies, we are set up with them. So if anybody did have a car that they wanted to donate, just go on our website and there's a button on there that says donate a car. Click that button and then, fill out a little bit of information on there and then we'll see about getting it transported back to here. Or it goes to Copart. I'm looking. Copart is usually, they'll grab them and they can run them through the sale at Copart. And, kind of like you said, the Cars for Kids and stuff, we do have a work that we can use to get cars in from all over. So,
What else can our listeners do to help? I mean, we can all just write you a check or make a donation online. You got some pretty cool merchandise there. I'm eyeballing. I got to get me a cool American Warrior Garage T-shirt. But what other things can folks do to support you?
One of the biggest things that we're about to get into, like I said, is social media. I went on the Hot Rod Power Tour last year, and we were set up, and then there was a gentleman that parked next to us, and I don't mind saying his name. It was Derek from Vice Garage. He got set up next to us, and one of our guys that helps us with our marketing, he says, be sure to talk to Derek, you know, when you're on the Hot Rod Power Tour. And I was like, and I'm thinking, who's Derek? I didn't know who he was. So we got set up. He came through, and I'm like, hey, Derek, I'm Scott with American Warrior Garage, and, you want to talk. I was told by my marketing guy I need to, have a conversation with him. He goes, sure, no problem. He goes, let me get set up, and we'll sit down and chat. So next thing I know, they're getting set up, and he's got a line a mile long of people wanting to come by and get autographs. And I'm like, who is this guy? And I'm like, I had, been on two episodes of Garage Rehab, and I got nobody's coming up here to want my autograph, and he's got him lined a mile long wanting his autograph. Well, come to find out, he's got, millions of followers on YouTube, and I was able to chat with him for a little bit. He's like, Scott, he goes, you got a great story and everything. He goes, you just got to get it out. You need to get, YouTube channel and social media. He goes, that's where it's at. He goes, you need to tell your stories and then just make people aware of what you're doing. I bet a lot of listeners today didn't know that there's a garage down in Georgia that's, restoring guys' cars for veterans so that's what we're going to focus on is getting a YouTube channel going. So I know we don't have a lot of content on there right now, but if you could go in and follow us on YouTube and Instagram and Facebook and take advantage of some of the giveaways that we're going to be doing, and that'll help support us. And, of course, you can buy a T-shirt off our website or, go in there and make a donation. It would be great. So
if you I'm just curious, and we're running low on time here. And by the way, Scott, I will pledge to you, I will reach out to some of the other folks in my industry, whether they're radio shows or podcasters, that this would be appropriate subject matter for. And if you don't mind, I'll give them your contact information and see if we can get some more attention put on you. But what this idea of the training for veterans who want to become mechanics, do you have some kind of a system where folks can sponsor a scholarship, an individual scholarship for a veteran, or not quite yet? Or have you thought about that?
Not quite yet. So based on in answer to your question, not quite yet. But we are going to be working towards that. That is one of the things that we're working on right now. So we're kind of going through a little bit of a reorg on where we're, where we're at today and where we want to be at, a few years down the road. So, and that's one of the things that we are looking at is a bigger facility to where we can bring guys in and they can stay with us for 3, 4, 5 weeks, however long it takes to get them to that ASC certification level. So, so they can, do what they need to do to get jobs. So that's one of the things that we're actively looking at now is getting a bigger facility to where we can house a few people. A good old fire station would be great because they're already kind of set up with a couple of bays and a kitchenette, type area where, guys are staying there anyway. But
I'm all for that because I tell you, one of my concerns right now, Scott, I don't know if you feel the same way, but I'm just very concerned about how there seems to be a dwindling interest, particularly among young people, of the skilled trades. And I know every time my plumber comes over to work on the house, he kind of complains about how hard it is to recruit people and train them and then keep them. But one question to sort of wrap up, would you be amenable if we have some other garage owners or people with skills throughout the country in some of our other markets, if they said, hey, Scott, I like what you're doing. I'd like to start doing that in my town. Almost kind of a franchise idea.
We're actually working at putting that together now on what it would take. Of course, we'd want them to be veteran-owned and follow a little bit of a criteria that we set forth. That way everything's kind of, you know, the footprint's the same. So I know it sounds kind of crazy, but I'm trying to get all the mistakes, you know, with our footprint, I'm trying to weed out all the mistakes that anybody would encounter and then create that perfect footprint for, you know, satellite American Warrior garages throughout the country. So that is something that we are currently looking at and, you know, that would entail.
Well, Scott, thank you so much for sharing your story with us today. We'll certainly do our part in spreading the word, and best of luck to you.
Ben, thank you so much for having me. Again, you know, follow us on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube.
All right, Scott, folks, you can find this podcast and others at AmericanWarriorRadio.com. Like I mentioned, probably you can find it on any of your favorite streaming platforms. If you support us, check out Patreon.com/AmericanWarriorRadio. Until next time, all policies and procedures remain in place. Take care.
Listening to American Warrior Radio. You can hear over 300 episodes of this program via AmericanWarriorRadio.com or the most recent episodes via your favorite podcast app.